In the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, from the verse number 31 and on, there are so many ifs in this chapter that I feel a need to go through this chapter once again and visit also the verses that I have not opened before, but also to look into these verses, these short sentences that the Lord has told to the Jews, this group of Jews that professed the belief, their faith in Christ as at least a man of God. As we can read in the verse number 31 of chapter 8, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." What does that mean? Well, that means a lot of things, but this one thing I would like to pay attention to, and that is the mark or the sign, the proof of true and faithful discipleship is nothing less than faithfulness, continuation, not for a short time, but lifetime, lifelong following and believing, obeying and serving the Lord Jesus. And then he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we are enduring, persistent disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a reward that is coming our way, and that is the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge and the understanding of God's word and God's will. And as we grow in knowledge and understanding, that truth makes us free. First, the Lord Jesus Christ being the truth and the light and the way and the new life, he is giving us new life by making us free from the consequences of our sinfulness. We are not anymore under condemnation. We are delivered from the judgment of God, and we are now in the grace of God, in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on his merit, by his ransom, we are free. Now, that truth, if we grow in truth, if we grow in the knowledge of the Scripture, if we grow in obedience, faithfulness, and zeal for the Lord, then we are his disciples indeed, and that truth makes us more and more free, free from misunderstandings, free from ignorance, free from instability, free from earthly fears, makes us free from our own self. And then finally, that truth will make us free from the presence of sin when we get transferred into the presence of him who is the truth himself. The Jews that just a moment ago professed to believe in the Lord now are answering as unbelieving. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They did understand that the Lord was talking of spiritual freedom, of a free soul, soul free from sin, a heart indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord. The pride and self-satisfaction and lack of desire to grow in faith and the knowledge of the Lord and to progress in serving the Lord, lack of that desire, lack of that intention, lack of that change is a pure indication or plain indication that the new birth has not taken place, and the people, the persons that will not acknowledge their need to be made free, usually will not be made free. And I see that in many ways, in different groups and fellowships and so on. They are the only ones, and they never try to be better. And in some groups where there is that cheap grace, you just say the sinner's prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me my sins and take my life over, and amen, now I am saved. Praise the Lord, I am saved, I am saved, I am saved. Did anything change? Will anything change? No, never. I'm saved and I continue in sin. No, that's not salvation of the Lord. And this was the problem and the stumbling block of these Jews. The Lord Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin," not necessarily the servant of the Lord. Now, some servants of the Lord will sin, sometimes gross sins, and all of the servants of the Lord sin sooner or later, one way or another. None of us is without sin, none of us is without mistake, but as long as we acknowledge our insufficiency, as long as we acknowledge our guilt before the Lord, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all uncleanness, from all unrighteousness. Well, these people have nothing to confess, nothing to acknowledge. They are self-sufficient. Why did they believe in the Lord? They did not need a Savior. Well, they believed in Him not as their Savior, I think, but as their leader. And they are almost as good as the leader, maybe in some things even better, but He would be a pretty good political or even military leader for them. So they believe in Him. It's something similar as the voters, the supporters during the presidential campaign in the United States trust in their candidate and they believe in him and they vote for him and they propagate and do all kind of things just to get more people to support him and to vote for him and so on. But that's approximately as far as that faith goes. The moment the new president-elect becomes the president and start doing something that these former supporters are not happy with, they turn around and they turn against him. And that's why the presidents of the United States are most popular usually in the beginning when they are elected. And the least popular or the most unpopular at the end, before their mandate expired. Well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has not been elected by the majority of votes. We have not chosen Him. He has chosen us. And He is the one that has placed us in His grace, in the light of His Word, that we may go and bring forth the fruit worthy of repentance, worthy of His calling. And then the Lord said to these disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." They were so sure that He knows nothing about their sins. But now the Lord just told them that He knows they're all sinners. And after He said that every person that committed sin, He is a servant of sin, they didn't have courage to say, "So, we are not servants of sin, we never sin." Oh no. They were afraid that He might tell them something in the face, something that they were hiding from the others. And I think even if He had to know their sins, at least they were comforted that the others don't. So, they were quiet about that point. And the Lord Jesus continued and said that servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. The Son of God abideth forever in that house of God. That's His house. The Father and the Son are one. Servant, the servant that was word or discussion about in the preceding verse, everyone that committed sin is the servant of sin. that servant will not abide forever in that place where he is committing sin. He's going to die. And after that, there is no more opportunity for further sinning. However, after that, we have no promise of repentance and mercy and grace of God. So the servitude or the slavery of sin is temporary, and then after this life has ended, there is the punishment for sins for those that were servants of sin and died in their sins here. However, there is a remedy. The Lord says that if the Son shall make us free, then we are free indeed. He said that to the Jews, if the Son shall therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How was that in the days when slavery was the law of the society? Well, a grown-up son had the authority of his father, unless the father has removed that authority from his son. But in this case, we know that the father has given all power to the son, and has the father also has given the authority to the son to do the judgment. And so the Lord Jesus has all the authority in the father's house. And so if anyone from that house of slavery would flee to the Lord, into the Lord's house, the Lord can make him free from the consequences of his sin, make him free from the power of sin, and make him a free servant of the Lord. And then the Lord has apparently a little surprise for these Jews. The Lord said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. What is the meaning of these words? I know that ye are Abraham's seed according to the flesh. You are descendants of Abraham, and so is Esau, and so is Ishmael. So those that are the seed of Abraham according to the flesh are not the heirs of the promise, but the others that are of the faith of our father Abraham are the heirs of the promise. And the Lord says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Why did he say that? I don't think these men were eager to face their ever-changing mood, their ever-changing decisions, their instability, their immaturity. One moment they believe that he is of God and they are ready to follow him, and then next moment they are arguing with him and reject practically every word that he has said. Obviously, these same Jews were the open enemies of the Lord before, or openly part of the opposition of the gospel. But then this day they decided to change and switch allegiance. They now believe that Jesus is a man of God and they want to follow him, they want to hear his teaching, they want to have some benefits from his teaching and his actions. And the Lord in this dialogue with them is revealing to them that they are still the same. They did not really change. The word of God still cannot find any room, any place in their hearts and in their understanding. And as soon as they hear something from the word of God, something of our Lord's teaching and message, they are right away in opposition again. And the Lord said, I know that ye are Abraham's children, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Because they cannot accept the word of God, they are open for the misguidance and deception of Satan. And Satan is murderer from the beginning. Satan persuaded Cain to kill, murder his brother Abel, and many others after him. Satan is murderer from the beginning. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now we can see that the Lord is talking about a spiritual relationship and spiritual position of their heart and mind. Every child, or most of the children, will imitate their parents. And so the Lord says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. In other words, my nature is similar to the nature of the Father. What is my Father's will, that also is my desire. And then the Lord says, and same is with you. The desire of your father is evil, and you are also having those evil desires of your father. Ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. They are defending themselves by their historic heritage. But the Lord is speaking of their spiritual relationship, spiritual standing before God. And the Lord answered, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. That is the confirmation of your relationship. If you do not do the works of Abraham, you are not Abraham's children. And the Lord said, But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So Abraham was not an enemy of God, but a friend of God. Why did the Jews seek to kill the Lord? Because he was telling them the truth. The enemies of the truth are murderers. And if we see someone who is professing godliness, someone who is very religious, but in any matter, in any case, is not willing to face the truth and is turning his ears away from the facts that can clarify the truth and the reality for this person, and that person would rather not hear the truth and make his or her judgment without full evidence, that's of their father, the devil. The Lord has not at this point told that to the Jews, but he is aiming in that direction. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would have been doing the deeds of Abraham, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. It seemed to be that the Lord is pointing to one direction and to one factor, and these Jews are very much afraid of facing that. They would rather jump here and jump there and try in every possible way to prevent that situation or that event in which they would be compelled to look into the face of the truth. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. I suppose that these Jews could not have been totally ignorant of their history. How many times they were, their people, the nation of the Jews, was enslaved to their idolatry. How many times you, in the process of time until this day, they were enslaved to idolatry, to immorality, to awful things, awful sins and offenses against the Lord God, and how many times the Lord allowed the enemies to subdue the people of Israel and to rule over them because they were unfaithful to the Lord. And it was foolish enough for them to say, "We never were enslaved to anything or anyone. We are Abraham's children." But now they're jumping to even bigger words and stronger expressions. But because these expressions have no foundation, they cannot feel safe and secure behind these statements. So they jump to bigger expression, or they try to prove that they are something right and correct by using greater words. They said to the Lord, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." The Lord Jesus answered again, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." The Lord Jesus Christ did nothing to mar the vision of these people. They marred their vision by their own sinfulness. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything to honor the Father. And if anyone who knew God, anyone who lived according to the law and in the fear and reverence of God's name, everyone could have known that the Lord Jesus Christ has come from God. But they did not recognize the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, as their Savior. And so their faith, if there was any, was very shallow, was conditional, was selfish. If they can have some of their earthly desires and goals satisfied, they will believe in this Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord says here that He did not come of His own self, but the Father has sent Him. "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" Of course, everyone that is serving sin and Satan is rejecting the word of God, because the word of God is condemning every sin. So what is making these Jews unable to understand the word of God? Their resistance. When we resist the word of God, we actually hate His will. We want our own will, and that's why we cannot understand the word of God. Now is the time for the Lord to tell them openly and directly, no more going around, "Ye are of your father the devil." So let's go back. Those Jews that believed in Him, on Him, that believed that He is come from God, or that He is doing everything according to the will of God, these Jews, not willing to change their life, not willing to acknowledge the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the children of the devil, regardless, or and not only in spite of their confession of faith, but because of their false confession of faith, they are the children of the devil. Very important for us to check our confession of faith, to check our way of living, even if at time in the past we were faithful, sincerely following the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's check now, what is the situation? What is the condition of our heart? Are we still following the Lord Jesus Christ? Or perhaps we are leaning toward the deception of Satan. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." A very strong mark, marking those that serve Satan, is their lust after sin. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What we can draw, what lesson from this verse? When the Lord said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. What is one of the earliest lusts of Satan recorded in the scripture? First, deception, to deceive the people that they would rebel against the will of the Lord. Second, murder. Cain murdered his brother. Later on, vengeance. Lamech said to his two wives that he is going to kill a man for his wound and a young man for his bruise and this and that. If Cain will be avenged 7 times, Lamech 70 times 7. Oh, you can imagine how great and big man this Lamech was. No, he was only a poor little slave of a great big devil. The same liar is telling these religious Jews that they are the children of Abraham. That's a lie, they are not. And that devil is telling them that they are the children of God. No, that's a lie also. They are the children of the devil. And the devil is so deceitful, he will never come to them and say, ye are my children. Be as devilish as you can. And in the hearts of these children of the devil, there is no room for the word of God, because everyone that doeth evil hateth light. And the word of God is that light, hated by the godless people. And in the verse number 45, the Lord says, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And that is nothing new. That has been the case since the beginning. When the first people, Adam and Eve, believed the deception of Satan, they were not able to believe the truth of God anymore. And then the Lord says here, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? There is some relationship between being sinless and proclaiming the truth. No one can proclaim this truth perfectly other than this one that is sinless. The Lord says here, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, or you are not willing to hear them. You cannot hear them. When you hear the word of God, it's unacceptable to you, because ye are not of God. With these words, the Lord has underscored the difference between the believers of the truth and the believers of satanic deception. Those that are with their whole heart serving Satan, they cannot stand the word of God. And those that are following the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot suffer the yoke of bondage to sin. These Jews, being openly presented as they are, being described by the Lord the way they exactly are, now show their true face. And they answer, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? When did they say that? Not in this conversation yet. This is the first time. But before they professed their belief in Christ, their faith in the Lord Jesus, before that, they were against him. In their hearts, they're still against him, but they wanted to show a different face. Perhaps they thought in their dark mind that they sincerely want to believe and follow the Lord. But it was a lie. The Lord Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. What do we see? Religious people that are not in good standing in the sight of the Lord, that are living in their religious sinfulness, they see the right thing as wrong and the wrong things as right. Their vision is upside down. After they said these words, "Say we not, well, that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" The Lord Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." Because the Lord Jesus Christ was honoring the Heavenly Father, because he was doing and speaking what is pleasing to the Heavenly Father, these people, the religious, unconverted people, are dishonoring the Lord Jesus. They're despising him. As these Jews did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, so they did not know the Heavenly Father as their God. They also are unaware of their God, Satan, because they're enslaved to him and they believe his deception, and in his deception, Satan is not presenting himself as Satan, but as someone who is bringing something desirable to them, just as he did in the beginning to Eve. The Lord Jesus Christ continued to say, "And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth." What is the meaning of this verse number 50? "I seek not mine own glory," the Lord Jesus said. "There is one that seeketh and judgeth." What does that mean? I do not seek my own glory apart from the Father's glory. I don't have any pleasure in glorifying me instead of glorifying my Father. On the other hand, the Father's glory is the glory of the Son. And when a Christian, a disciple of the Lord, is preaching the gospel, and somebody will accept that truth and turn away from sin and in repentance turn to the Lord and become a new creature, newborn child of the Lord, then that newborn child of the Lord is honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that honor is also the honor of the preacher, of the disciple that brought that light of the truth to this newborn child. So what the Lord is saying here, that he does not seek his own honor separate from the Father's honor. Remember, in the story of two sons, the prodigal son, usually called, the eldest son came from the field, and when he heard the music and the rejoicing and so on, he didn't want to come in. Right away he suspected that the father has done something that he didn't like. So when he heard what was the reason for rejoicing, he was even more angry. And when the father came to talk to him, what did this self-righteous son of the father say? "I served thee for so many years. I never transgressed thy will. And thou hast never given me a kid that I would make merry with my company." Oh, he has his own company apart from the Father's company. He cannot rejoice in the Father's company. He has no joy in the Father's joy. He has no joy in the salvation and resurrection, if you will, of his younger brother. He is dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only alive, he is life himself. He seeks not his own glory apart from the Father's glory. But there is one. The Father is the one that seeks the glory for the Son. And all those that will reject the Son have no mercy of the Father for them. So the Father is the one that seeks the glory of his Son, just as the Son seeks the Father's glory. and the Father is judging all those that dishonor the Son. And the only way to escape that judgment, to be free from the righteous, just judgment of the Father, is to receive the teaching and keep the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that case, we shall never see death. This is a monumental truth. In Christ there is salvation. Everyone believing and receiving and following the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the will of the Father and has passed from death to life. What is the response of the Jews to that? Because they are the children of the devil. The fury of their father is expressed in their words. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. These same Jews said, We be Abraham's children, and we were never in bondage to anyone. How canst thou say that we shall be made free? And here they prove that they are not only in bondage, they are shackled in their ignorance, in their sin, in their deep darkness. For them, their father Abraham is dead. They cannot even think that he is alive, much more than when he was living on earth. And they say that all the good and righteous, faithful prophets of the Lord are dead. No, they are not dead. They are alive, alive forevermore. And then they continued and said, Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Everybody is greater. Every alive is greater than a dead anyone. But they're talking according to the flesh. And the Lord is presenting to them the truth of the gospel, and they are intentionally, willingly blind to the truth of the gospel. So they say, Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And the Lord answered to the last question first. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. What do we see? Honoring his own self. Any selfishness and any tendency towards separation from the Father is absolutely unacceptable and abhorred by our Lord and Jesus Christ. Unacceptable to him. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. The Lord Jesus continued, Yet ye have not known him. Ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. The Lord Jesus Christ again revealing the difference between two natures, two personalities. The children of the devil do not know God as their heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows the Father as his own Father. And it would be an awful, terrible thing, completely unacceptable to the Lord Jesus to say, I do not know the Father. I know him, and I keep his saying. I keep his word. The Lord, I think, intentionally does not say, I keep his commandments. The commandments are not necessary to the Father for the Son, because the Son has the same nature and the same personality as the Father. Like Father, like Son. And whatever is the wish, the desire of the Father is the same way and just as much the wish and the desire, intention and will of the Son. And that's why the Son of God has come to this earth, because it was the will of the Father. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said another nugget of the truth, another revelation that was even the more unacceptable to the children of the devil. The children of the devil that are faithless are in total darkness and ignorance, but the children of the devil that are religious and boast of their religion are much worse and much more bitter enemies of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed this to them, and they could not accept it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. These words not only reveal that the father Abraham is not dead, that he is still alive, but this also revealed that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the mere man, but first of all, the Son of God, and now in the flesh. And I would think the whole heavenly host and all the souls that are in the care of our Heavenly Father until the resurrection day, all these rejoiced in the day of the Lord. The angels that declared the birth of the Savior to the shepherds in Bethlehem did not do that, I believe, only to tell the shepherds about the good news, but that their joy was genuine. And of all the heavenly hosts, these angels were sent to bring this news to the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. But I would think that every day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's birth, the day of the Lord's proclamation of the gospel, the day of the Lord's healing the sick, the day of the Lord's victory on the cross, when the Lord said, "It is finished," I would think that there was a great joy in heaven. And when the Lord declared his victory over death and Satan on the cross, when he said, "It is finished, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit," at that moment the heavenly host shouted louder than ever before, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the whole heavenly kingdom was vibrating with that enormous joy and glory to the Almighty God, because the Son of God has fulfilled the will of the Father. I think this is also a lesson for us today. When something good has been accomplished in our pilgrimage, and even if that was linked together or packed together in the same package with some inconvenience, with some suffering, maybe some sickness, maybe some bereavement, maybe some loss of earthly goods, anything, as long as that had been part of God's accomplishment, of His progress, His blessing, His bringing us closer to the goal that He has appointed for us. It's the joy of our souls. It's the joy of all the redeemed ones. It's the joy of the heavenly angels. The joy of the Lord. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" They're so without understanding. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Well, that's interesting that the Lord did not say, "I was before Abraham," because that would be past, finished time. He did not say even I have been, which is lasting time. But he said, as we read here, before Abraham was, I am. For the Lord Jesus Christ, being the eternal Son of the everlasting God, there is no time. Oh yes, he had his appointed time here on this earth. Yes, he was born as a child. Yes, he grew up, he became a lad, he became a youth, he became a young man and proclaimed the gospel. He was baptized at the River Jordan by John, and the testimony of John was heard there, and the voice of the Father confirmed that testimony, and so on. Wonderful things happen, all in the due time here on this earth. But as soon as that mission is accomplished, everything is back where it was before, from ever and ever, forever and ever, Lord God Almighty. There is no end of His days, no number of His years. He is the everlasting, eternal God. Since God Almighty is the eternal God, since the Son is everlasting Son, so the devil is devil forever, and he's furious. He cannot stand that truth right in his face. And that's what we read in the verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Who? The Jews that just few verses before believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about that in the verse number 30 of this same chapter. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And this whole dialogue, this whole long conversation is between the Lord Jesus Christ and those Jews that believed on him. For we read in the verse number 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. So, at the end of this chapter we read, after the Lord revealed to them his true nature, his origin, his destiny, but also his true nature, that is, I am, not I was, I will be, I shall be, I am. His unchanging divinity. They picked up stones to cast at him, but it was not his time yet. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. May the Lord save us from rebelling against his truth and believing in our own worthiness and rejecting his salvation, lest he also pass by us. But let us sit down at his feet as Mary did, and listen to his words. And when Satan is tempting us to lean upon anything else, we may say the same words that Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life.